Hey, greetings everybody, and welcome to the studios of don'tperish.com. This is Brother Two Posts with
Sister Amen.
Sister Amen, why don't you describe to people our studio that we make these audios from?
Our studio?
Yeah.
Well, it's in two van seats that are spun around.
So you sit in the passenger
in the
seat.
The van.
You sit in the passenger seat. I sit in the driver's seat.
Uh-huh.
And what do?
We sit here and do our edification audio.
And we talk in a phone.
Yeah, we talk in a phone.
In the front.
I get what you mean. Everybody's got like these big fancy studios. I get what you're getting at. Yeah,
so we're sitting in front of our gospel van, and that's the studios from don'tperish.com. We've known a bunch of ministries that spend thousands of dollars, and they get insulated walls, and they got fancy mic pieces, and they listen for the littlest sounds. Where their lips don't smack and making audios, and we just talk into a phone and sit in our chairs and hopefully edify some saints.
Right.
Simplicity that's in Christ. I love that.
Amen. We like simple and uncomplicated. We run a lot off of some mediocre phones and cheap Chromebooks.
Yeah. It's awesome. We had a really good day. Did we have a blessed day today?
We did.
I got some van projects done. Sister Amen got some gospel card passing out walking done around the town.
Yep.
I did some studying. Sister Amen and I worked together. We got one of my false teacher testings posted. That's up on the, it's going to be up at the top of the page, right? That people can see that. We had a brother's call today. And we've got all those audios posted in the Ecclesia forum. That's also going to be posted at the top of the page.
Mm-hmm.
And I also did a teaching on when sanctification stops. I think that'll bless you, and the brothers and I talked about it. So all that's going to be linked up at the top of the edification page, right, Sister Amen?
Yes.
And you saw some awesome ducks on the dock we were by.
At night, yeah.
And you got a beautiful scripture picture. So we got some good edification for you at the top of the audio edification page. I don't know why I have a hard time saying that. Audio edification page.
You know what?
My tongue slips over my teeth. I don't know what's going on.
How about reprove and rebuke?
Yeah, that's another hard one.
I trip over those too.
That's a good one. Hey, what's on your mind today, Sister Amen, as we talk from our studio, which is you in the passenger seat, me in the driver's seat talking on our phone?
Sometimes I sit over there when you're not in
here. That's true. She likes my captain's chair. It's comfortable.
I don't know. The way it's set up, it is. Mine is too. I'm really, you know, I am so, so super thankful to be able to sit in a comfortable chair. We went from sitting on a cooler in a metal box.
Yeah, we got, our chairs are pretty comfortable. And the front of our gospel van is like our living room.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome.
And I get to stand up and cook.
Yeah, amen. And you cook good, too.
I'm thankful for that every day. Sisters, it's a blessing to be able to stand up and cook. Think about that.
Your stove in our other van was kind of hidden in a shelf. And
yeah.
It was crude, but it got the job done.
Oh, yeah.
What's on your heart and mind today?
I can't remember what it was. Oh, I know what it was. This kind of sparked an idea in my mind. You were doing a brother's call, and just down like two or three houses down was a man with an electric lawnmower. Had a start up, and I don't know if it shows up on the audio
or
not.
It was loud for electric lawnmower.
Yeah, it was. He was running it over the cement to probably blow it off. But what made me think about it is, you know, us out here, we have to learn how to do the work of the Lord in the world. With all the distractions, and we get a lot of that out here, and it kind of reminded me, you know, way back in the beginning when we started doing a lot of this, I was like so distracted. I came from being on the homestead, working in the garden, and the only noises I heard was nature.
Yeah, more quiet.
Yeah, and then when we started going out more and witnessing and things.
It's a culture shock.
Yeah, I really had to focus really, really hard because we were working online in our ministry and being out there. And I thought about this. This is funny. This really broke me in. We had a sister, and it was quite a few years ago, and she wanted to start a blog. And she was very computer illiterate. But over the phone, I talked her through the setting up of a blog.
I remember that.
And all of the details in that. And this was all while we were sitting in the marketplace at a McDonald's in the corner, and the only table we had was underneath the TV, which was blasting up over our head to everybody else. And so I pressed through that, and that to me was like a marker and a milestone because I was like, Lord, I need to be able to press through for the sister.
You could do just about anything, yeah.
Oh, I know. Do you remember after that? I think you turned the TV off and the man across the room.
They got mad.
You went to the restroom or something. He was screaming profanities at me.
I turned the TV down and they got mad at us. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He didn't do it while you were there until you came back. But, yeah, anyway, I was thinking about this. You know, we don't want to wait in this life for, like, perfect environments for anything, especially if you're going to do the work of the Lord. If you're going to share the gospel, you need to be able to do it when there's distractions around and stuff.
Yeah, we do a lot of that preaching when there's a lot of noise and music and everything blasting around us.
Yeah. And we don't want to wait for all that because then we're going to cripple what the Holy Spirit could do within us. And I wanted to read 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. You know, we don't want to be, well, I can't really focus right now. You know, you need to press through and just be able to do it. And then
Hold that thought. Quench the Spirit. We just talked about with the brothers. When you hear the word quench the Spirit, I just want to explain to everybody, that means you extinguish the Spirit in you.
Yeah.
Think about that. You don't allow him then to convict you, teach you, comfort you. You extinguish him. So if that Holy Spirit is like a spark of light inside you, you just like pretty much poof, darken it.
Yeah, so if the Spirit's moving within you to share something with somebody, and you're too much in your flesh and too worried about it, sisters, we got to be able to press through.
Amen.
And trust him and walk in the Spirit, and he'll give you what you need.
Amen.
And Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, and be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. So I'm thinking about how Jesus sends us into the world.
Yeah.
We don't run out and wait till everything's perfect. And, you know, because you're not always going to have peace and quiet when you email gospels out.
Or, in the world, not of it.
Yeah. So press through. Just some encouragement, sisters. And it's going to get louder, noisier, darker, more sinful.
Yeah.
We want to be able to stand right in it and proclaim forth that truth. So.
Yeah, focus on the things above and be able to be guided by the Spirit and block out all that other stuff that's going on, that wickedness that's going on around you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good thought, Sister Amin. Today, I had kind of a, this was weird. You ever have one of these moments where you're driving? I'm driving through a town, and it was right downtown area, and there was a line of people, and this just caught the corner of my eye. And I saw it. It was a lady. And then as I drove by, then the whole mindset thing was framed, what it was going on. Uh-huh. So here's the scenario. It's a food truck. And there's a line of about 20 people in line for food. And here's a lady standing there, and she has her hands on her ears, covering both her ears. Like, you know, can't hear nothing, don't want to hear it.
Yep.
Got her hands on her ears. And we drive by, and this guy's generator is, like, screaming loud.
We heard it many blocks away.
We heard it blocks away in the park. And I saw this lady standing there with her hands on her ears. And the first thing after I drove by and I was pondering, first thing that came to my mind was I said to Sister Amin, look at that. She's got her ears covered. She hates the sound of that generator, but she ain't moving. She's standing there to feed her belly because she wants that food. I think it was like barbecue or something. And it made me think about that when we go out street preaching, and when I just preach the gospel, not doesn't have to be loud, could just be my voice. People walk by with their hands on their ears making nasty faces at us because they want to stop the sound and they don't want to hear the gospel. So it made me think about people will stand and put themselves in loud places to feed their bellies, but they will not hear the gospel and they'll cover and they'll block their ears over the gospel. It kind of makes me think about how people will go after what their flesh wants, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
And it makes me think about people blocking their ears or itchy ears. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. That's why they cover their ears. But after their own lusts they heap up from themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from their ears from truth and shall be turned unto fable. So I don't know. It's just that image of that mind, seeing that lady standing with her hands over her ears, but she was standing there for that food.
Yep.
But they walk away angry when I preach the gospel. I don't know. That just kind of hit me. What do you say about that, Sister Amin?
Well, I was thinking about how we've gone to concerts, whether they're so-called Christian ones or whatever it is that we're going to, stand out and preach the gospel outside of festivals, the things with loud music going on inside. And when they walk by us and they don't want to hear it, they'll plug their ears or they'll plug the ears of a little child that they're carrying. And then when they get away and walk in, they let it go. And the child's blasted with louder noise.
Yeah, they're not plugging it because of the volume.
Yeah.
They're plugging it because they don't like the content. Because my little voice or my little amp, when I use it sometimes, is like 4 inches across. You go in there and they got 8-foot speakers and 20 of them. And they're all standing in front of the stage and they love the music. It's not the volume, it's the message.
Oh, I know, because I don't even have a loud voice and they plug their ears around.
Yeah, they
me
plug
too.
Their ears too. Yeah. So, yeah, that was just kind of, I thought it was ironic to see that today. And it kind of made me think about the lost world and how they hate the things of the gospel.
Right.
And also I had another thought. Talking to brothers on the phone today and just thinking about churchianity versus the true ecclesia saints. And I was thinking about, I know we hammer on this a lot, but I think it's worth bringing up again. People don't realize what is the focus of the true New Testament body.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have made it a social club. Most people have made it a place to get them to heaven. But really, Ephesians 4:12 says, it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So think about that. There's three aspects to that. Perfecting of the saints. That means teaching them doctrine, getting them complete, getting them mature, getting them holy, getting them sanctified. I just did a teaching audio on sanctifying, which means getting them holy. And then for the work of the ministry, teaching them how to do ministry. We're going to meet a brother tomorrow. We're teaching him how to be a street minister, how to be an evangelist. We're going to go out tomorrow with him. And so that's part of it. And then for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come together and we use our skills, our gifts, our talents to edify each other. That's the purpose of the body. Of course, it's all to the glory of God. But most people have it for, I like this, I want this, the kids have good kids programs, I love the coffee bar, the pastor's so funny. None of this stuff is rooted in God's word. And we have to go back to scripture and go, what are we supposed to do and what's the purpose of it all? And we learned that earlier in our walk, didn't we, Sister Amma?
Yeah, what we learned is it's not all that flesh that comes together, because it all should be focused on the Word of God. And you and I from the beginning were like zealous to be trained up for ministry.
Yeah.
And we see like the Anabaptist groups, they're right. All center focused right. On themselves and house to house, you know, helping each other earn money and do their stuff.
Building centered, ritual centered.
Yeah, but none of them are like going out. Well, they have an unbiblical gospel, but they're not going out for the work of the ministry.
Yeah, they're not training people up to do ministry at all.
Yeah.
I remember when we were brand new babies and we did go to an Assembly of God church for a very short season, like a few months. And I remember you and I were so stumbled because we would leave the church after the blaring music, after the sermon, and after everybody said their niceties, said, okay, goodbye, see you later. And we were like, nobody wants to talk about God. Nobody wants to go deeper. Nobody wants to study. Nobody wants to have fellowship one-on-one. They all wanted to go fishing, swimming, hunting, doing their thing, watching the Packers. We were so stumbled as new believers going, what's wrong with us? We were looking at us first going, what's wrong with us? And then we came to realize, it's not us, it's them. They don't even love the word. They don't even love the word of God.
Yeah.
And we decided, no, this is not, as we tested more, nobody could help us. There was nobody around to help us. We studied the scriptures and we became Bereans, and the truth, who is Christ and the Word and the Spirit, showed us that's not my system. Those aren't my people. And he said, come out of her, my people, and we came out.
Right.
And we never ever went back.
And you know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking about, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about us, our old life. You and I were like a couple of the absolute most stubborn people. And when we saw something to do it, we pressed forth and we did it. This was even before Christ.
Yeah.
And so when we started seeing the truth, sisters, we were like, I call it the one and done.
Yeah.
If I would find a sin in something, done. One sin, done. One sin, done. Read a book, and if I saw one thing, done. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, we were rooting out everything.
It was like it had to be black and white for me, and we pushed right through on that.
Yeah.
Like you said, when we left, I was like, done. No problem. Yeah. No second guessing, no nothing on it.
Yeah, and if you cling to the Word and cling to the Spirit, you can have a testimony where you just go up, up, up in truth, and you'll never be deceived by false doctrine if you cling to the Word and Spirit. But if you lean to fellowship, if you lean to a building, if you lean to music, if you lean to some man's ministry that's funny and he's hip and everybody likes him, you're always going to be led away in the flesh by the things that'll cause you to stumble. But if you focus on Spirit and truth, John 16, Jesus said he'll teach you all truth, and you don't have to ever be caught up in lies or deceit or in anything.
Right. Amen. And you know, you're talking about training up for the ministry, what the focus is.
Yeah.
It's not food.
Yeah.
We learned that, you kind of, You know what I'm going at? When we were first brand new and we just left, we met some people that claimed to be of Christ. We were learning. They were kind of learning. But they had this major focus on food. And at the time, I was making a big spread because I was trying to be hospitable.
Five-course meals.
Or whatever it was. Yeah. It was just like a lot of complicated stuff, you know. And that lasted only a couple times. And we're like, hey, wait a minute. The focus is on food. And I was happy to be set free from trying to do that.
Yeah.
And it became either no food or just simple, basic
simple
fingers.
Food.
Yeah, because it was, we saw that with a lot of people as we
food fellowship idolatry.
Or it was just more of the activities and the flesh of coming together as opposed to the word, which makes me think, you know, sometimes there's almost a benefit to long distance because it stays focused on the word.
Right, yeah. And that's a good point. So let's bring that up. So as much as we see the churchianity building system as false and unbiblical, we don't know anybody that's biblical in a building. I will tell you that you have to watch out for house churches as well, because what happens is usually the people that leave the church buildings end up all uniting together in somebody's house, and they take a lot of their heresy with them, and they just are disgruntled about the pastor, and they end up meeting, and it becomes a social club in somebody's living room, and they aren't any more biblical. In fact, they get even worse, because a lot of times then women end up leading them, or even more heretical men than a modern pastor end up leading them. So watch out for house fellowships. They can be, while it's the biblical model, they can be far, far more into the Colossians 2:8 mindset of the, they get stumbled by the ways of man, the traditions of men, and they far leave the traditions of Christ. So we warn people about that all the time.
Right.
Watch out for the house churches here in America and around the world, because they get very corrupt and they tend to focus on food, fellowship, and not on doctrine.
Right. I think they like that freedom to just kind of hang out and do whatever it is they feel like doing.
Yeah, it feels good to be set free from the church system.
Right.
And so that's what they focus on most of all.
Right.
So, Stroman, what else is on your mind today?
Well, I have a scripture verse for the end.
You have a scripture verse?
Yep. But that's for, like, we usually do that at the end.
Yeah, that's fine.
I guess I could do that now.
You listen to Brothers and I talk about recreation. We were talking about recreation and the sin of recreation. I guess I did walk around a little bit. Maybe you didn't hear the whole conversation, that part of it. Mosquitoes overtook us and we had to scatter. But I have a question for you. So you can listen to the audio, Brothers and I, talking about recreation and the various sins and what aspect of it. I think it was a pretty good angle we took. We talked about recreation, and then we talked about, the brothers talked about, instead of calling it recreation, let's attach biblical words to it that show us how sinful it is. So recreation sounds good. I'll give you an example. Ready? In our carnal life, ready? We weren't drunks. We were partiers. So you see how you put like a better word on it, and it makes it sound like it's better. We're partiers. If people said, oh, you're just drunks. We go, what? We're drunks. Yeah, we were drunks, but we were partiers. So we do recreation. And the brothers and I were talking about how it's carnal, covetous, it doesn't take care of your temple. It's prideful. It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
And when you add biblical words to it, then you see it's sin.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you, Sister Armin. Are you ready for a question?
Yeah, because you know what? If I don't know it, I can ask you what the answer is.
Hey, wait a minute. How does that work out?
All right.
All right, Sister Armin, if you were out witnessing and a woman said to you, well, I'm a believer, I love Jesus too, and you witness the gospel to her, and she said, well, I don't know about your lifestyle, but wow, you guys don't sound like you have any fun. And if she said, I love to jog and I belong to a volleyball league, why can't I do this recreation? Because I love Jesus too. Why can't I do this recreation? What would you say to a claimed believer? She actually listened to you preach the gospel and she says, yeah, I believe that gospel, but she has a worldly life of recreation. What would you say to that woman?
Well, probably during the gospel, I would go through it and then ask her if she is a born-again saint.
Yep.
And then I would see if she's claiming to be my sister.
She's claiming to be born again.
Yep. And I do that to sisters and I say, so if you're claiming to be born again, that would make you my sister in Christ.
Right.
And they usually agree. And so I would say, you know, Paul said that exercise profiteth little, but we're to be striving in Christ. So how is it that a godly woman has the time to be running down the street or playing volleyball when she hasn't even gotten to the point of the scriptures to understand how to even dress herself?
Yeah.
Cover her head, and I would go through that on there. I would talk about how it's covetous, it's pride, it's vanity. You know, volleyball, sometimes it can be kind of violent. It's prideful to be running around trying to jog for the looks instead of just trying to be healthy.
Brothers and I talked about, we've never seen anybody jog in a tunic or an unadorned skirt and a head covering.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Not that you should even be jogging, but we talked about that.
They're virtually naked. Yeah. You don't want to, we've been to the marathons
it's
witnessing,
nakedness.
You know, we're not looking at it, but we're there to witness.
Yeah.
And so I would explain to her how a godly woman is to carry herself, dress herself, what she should be doing with her time, and then ask her how that compares to what she's doing with right now.
Yeah.
Did I miss
good
something?
Answer. No, that's a good answer. So basically, your avenue would be hold her to her testimony.
Uh-huh.
We wouldn't do that with a worldly person. A worldly person, we preach the gospel and entreat them to come to Christ and then teach them the doctrines. But somebody that's claiming Christ, you basically dissect whatever sin you see in them to get them to see it. So they can realize that they're outside of the grace of God. They're outside of sanctification as they live and practice the ways of the world. And you would dissect it and try to help her to see it.
Right. And I like to do the comparison of what is godly versus what somebody's doing. And then let them see the total difference on
yep.
it, whether they can see it or not.
Yep.
At least they're being told, so
yep.
maybe they can go home and look it up.
Yep. So we reason with them. We give them scripture. We give them the concepts. And then we hope that they listen, and then the Holy Spirit will convict them and draw them to that truth, and that's
right.
why we do that. So we want to work in unison with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and then He does the convicting. We can't do that. And then if they want help, they want more teaching, then we're there to help them. So that was a good answer, because we do run into that a lot, don't we?
Yeah, we do, and what you want to do, sisters, is I know the Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine or be wasting your words or something, so be careful, though, because a woman could ask that question, and even though she's claiming to be of Christ, maybe been that way for 20 years, and you might look at her and go, wow, so if you're claiming to be of Christ, you ought to know this by now. It doesn't mean she's being a mocker.
Right.
You know, she could just be, she's totally oblivious. And I've talked to women, I've said, you know, you've been a Christian for X amount of years, or they're claiming it, and you haven't gotten to the fundamentals of how to be a godly woman. So
yeah.
either you're rebellious,
right.
or you're lazy and you're not seeking,
yeah.
or maybe you're not even born again and you don't even understand
yeah.
it all.
Yeah, that's a good point. Give everybody a chance to give them the oracles of God to see how they respond. Because I always tell people in the street, hey, you're not getting truth from the media, from colleges, from churches, from the internet 99.99% of the time. You're not getting truth out there. You're going to get it from the Word of God and the street preacher. So maybe these people have never heard this. And we've had lots of people tell us, we've never heard this stuff before. We're like, well, if you'd read the Bible, you'd see it. But clearly, if you're just going to listen to modern church, you're not going to hear it. And they go, wow, friend, this one rocks people. To be a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God. And they go, I've never heard that before. They
yeah.
go read James 4:4, and hopefully then that moves them along to go deeper and find their great need in Christ.
Right, yeah, and if you can compare, like I was saying, compare what should be to what they're doing.
Yep.
Every once in a while you get some of them and they're just like, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And hopefully they let that go in.
Yep.
A lot of times it might bounce off and go somewhere else. But
yep, so that's our job, to be salt, be light, and to be different, and then to put those ideas out there and preach the concepts of the doctrines, especially to those that claim Christ, so they can find their way back, or not back, find their way to the truth. Most of them really truly need to be born again. We always start and preach the gospel and then give them reasons why there's evidence they're outside of the gospel.
Right.
Because remember, the gospel is Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. And check it out, don'tperish.com. We got a whole page on it with all kinds of scriptures. And then our response to his perfect work, which is to come out of the world, which is recreation, has to go by the wayside.
Right.
Yeah. I have another thought, Sister Ammon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that the more a person resists correction, the harder it becomes? Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So if you, like, give somebody something where they need to be corrected, and they go, oh, no, that's not me. How dare you? I can't believe that yet. And they make all kinds of stuff. Don't they build, like, a huge mountain out of it rather than going, it's interesting you say that. Maybe I should look into that. I really appreciate it. You probably care about me. Do you think they set up themselves stumbling blocks to not be corrected?
Well, they do, because if they're claiming to be of God, if I were to come to a sister, and I would try to share with her and entreat her to repent of a sin, and she gets all, like you just did.
Fleshly.
Oh, I'm not going to do that. You
defensive.
Know what she did? She just sinned again because she got pride.
Right.
She's yeah. not receiving a correction.
Yeah, the Bible talks about a wise man wants correction, wants truth, yeah. wants to be brought out of all sin and all false
yeah,
ways.
Yeah, so they like stack more sin on top of the sin they yeah. have. Yeah.
Hebrews 13:18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and in all things willing to live honest. Doesn't that mean what we're talking about here? You got to be willing for correction, willing for holiness, willing for sanctification, a willing heart and mind. Prothumia, I love that. Acts 17, a readiness to hear the word of God and apply it and walk in it and want it. Isn't that the fruit of truly being born of God? Is that you want that?
Oh, right, because you know what I thought? And I still think this too. Early on in my walk, when I was correcting myself or seeing it in the scriptures, or you and I would see something that we needed to change, my first thought was, wow, I'm glad I know this, because from this time forth, I'm not going to grieve my Heavenly Father yeah. by sinning, even if I didn't know.
Yeah, it was like being set free.
Yeah, so my first thought was, I don't want to grieve God in my sin.
Yep.
And so I was thankful for the opportunity to know and understand and stop doing sin so that way He could be glorified more.
Amen. And it just hit me, John 8:32, the stuff just comes to us. John 8:32, Jesus said, and the truth will set you free. It just hit me. If the truth sets you free, how do you become free? You got to walk in the truth.
I love that.
You can't just say, hey, the truth set me free while I live in sin and false ways. The truth sets you free because you turn direction. You leave the bonds of unrighteousness and sin, and you follow the truth to walk in righteousness. You serve Christ. You become a servant to Him and not a servant to sin and death anymore. So the truth sets you free only when you follow it.
Right. And I have scripture to read on this.
Yeah, I'm ready. You ready to read scripture?
And stuff? Yeah.
Go for it.
Hebrews 12:7-9. Well, this is a good example. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all we are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?
Yeah.
And so if we're going to take it from God, we ought to be taking it from His people.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, people that are looking over our souls and people that care about us. And that's what's good right. about having unity of the body. Then you have a trust for people, and you know that they're speaking into your life to help you, for betterment, to lift you up, not to attack you, pull you down, and stumble you.
Right. And you know what? I'll tell you what, sisters. If you see a sin in me, and you know it's sin, and you don't tell me for a while, I'm going to have to fight my flesh in anger once I find out you know after yeah. you told me and you sat on it and didn't come tell me right away so I could stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's not honoring God, and that's not honoring, that's partiality, and yeah, we don't want to do that.
No,
we
no,
love people.
I want to be told right away.
We love people by giving them exhortation and correction.
And it is hard.
And rebuke if they need it.
It's a hard thing to correct people. I mean, you do it in the spirit, your flesh doesn't want to because you don't want to. The flesh just doesn't want to do it. It's like a surgeon having to cause pain on somebody.
Yeah.
And so I was just thinking about that. Depending on the situation you are in the body, sometimes you're going to receive a lot of correction, or you're going to have to be the one giving the correction. So, sisters, if you're the one receiving a lot of correction because you're brand new, think about what the person feels like that has to do all that correction.
Yeah.
It's not something that they relish doing. They do it for the glory of God and because they love you.
Yeah, and perfect lead-in. Mark 10, I was just telling a brother this. Mark 10, verse 21, Jesus talking to the rich man. Master, how can I gain eternal life? I love this. Jesus is about ready to tell him what one thing he lacks to gain eternal life. Jesus is about to tell him his sin. And you would say, wow, street preacher, two posts. You're mean. You tell people their sin. Look at what Jesus does. Ready? Mark 10:21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I love that. And said unto him, one thing thou lack, go sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross, your stake, and follow me. I love that. It says Jesus loved him. So when I correct a brother, I love him. When sister corrects a sister, it's because she loves them. She wants them to come in full unity with God's word and truth and doctrine. It's not mean-spirited, and we live in such a politically correct world. Don't correct anybody. Just everybody get along. Don't hurt somebody's feelings. Well, you know what? People's feelings need to be hurt so they can get their spirit aligned with God and so they don't lose their soul.
Right.
So yeah. I just wanted to read that. I love that. Jesus loved him and rebuked him.
Right, and does it really matter what feelings you have? Because we're supposed to be walking in the spirit,
we are.
Not the flesh.
We are. Do you have any other scripture verses to share, Sister Amin?
I do.
Go for it.
I have Matthew 10, 19 through 20.
I love Matthew 10.
But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And we can say the same today, because if we're walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, when we're out witnessing, when we're sharing with somebody, when we get to rebuke with a sister or encourage her, or edify or contend on the streets, or deal with like a question you asked me from a woman or one of them that might not be accepting of the truth but maybe trying to test, we walk in the Spirit and God gives us all those words to say.
Amen, amen. That's a good thought. I love that.
Yeah.
Good scripture. Tomorrow we're headed to, we kind of been laying low in the smaller town getting some things done, but tomorrow we head to a bigger town. We're going to go meet a brother, and we're going to go out. I think we're going to work and do street ministry at a street fair, music. It's a music festival that's going on.
Not really sure.
So we're going to go and do that, and then we're going to do some studying with this brother and probably break bread with him. So that's going to be awesome. It's always awesome to get to see other people of God. It is nice when you can see them face to face. It's awesome when you can just have connection, whether it be email, texting, video calls. And so we're going to do that tomorrow. So I'm looking forward. Sister Amin, we've been in this town for a couple of days, and normally when we're in a town for a couple of days, if it is an event or something, it's like we kind of start going,
time to move on.
I think it's time to move on. We get familiar with our surroundings, and as nomadic van dwellers for Christ, it's like we got to get going. And so it's been productive here. We got a lot done, so we're going to roll on down the road. And I can't believe it's the end of August already. And we're already thinking about fall and when we're going to head south to our preaching grounds in the winter. And so, pretty awesome. God gives us another season.
Right.
Are you looking forward to it, Sister Amin?
Yeah, whatever. I look forward to it. I got right now, so I'm thankful for that. And then tomorrow, after that, if he gives us that,
And then we do have some events we're looking at that we're like kind of excited about doing. We're not anxious, but we're kind of excited because we know we get to see lots of people and put the gospel out, glorify God before them. So we're looking forward to that.
Right. It's like the Spirit rises up.
Amen. Amen. Last scripture verse I got for you, saints and seekers, if you're listening. I don't know why you don't repent and follow Christ. You're going to lose your souls. Let us know how we can help you in that. Romans 12, 17, 18. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Sister Amin, let's talk about that for a minute. Is it possible always to live at peace with everybody?
No.
Yeah.
Not in the way they think it's being peaceable anyway.
So the Word of God always gives us an out. I love it. If possible, live at peace. Paul didn't live at peace with everyone. He couldn't because he had enemies who hated and wanted to kill him. He was at peace with them, but there were false teachers, false brethren that he couldn't be at peace with. So you got to temper that. Live at peace with all men based on the context, and is it possible to do? But it is something we should strive to do. I always try to make peace with everybody that I can, unless it's a sin situation that I, you know, Jesus said, let your peace be upon them if they receive you, but if they don't or if they're in sin, your peace can't be upon them. So think about that in your life. Make sure that the relationships you have that you don't have peace with, make sure it's not on you. Make sure it's not your fault. As Jesus said, don't have aught with your brother and you'd be going before God. Make sure you did everything you could to make it peaceable, not compromise, not overlook sin, but do everything you can to at least be peaceable and move on, and in that we glorify God. Does that make sense, Sister Amin?
Yeah, because you may even have to go back and constantly rebuke or correct somebody to get to that peace.
Yeah.
You know, being a brother or sister or something to try to get to that unity and peace.
And we just learned, we had a recent thing, we just learned about going back, seeking reconciliation.
Yeah.
Maybe following the Spirit when the time is right, and pretty amazing. I'll give testimony. Take heart. If you have a situation, especially with, we're talking believers here, not the people of the world.
True
believers.
True
believers that have come out of the world and come out of the church, come out of their flesh, or trying, coming out of the flesh. Let me give you some great hope, because I just came into a situation that I thought was impossible. I really did. In the flesh, yeah. it was impossible. Yeah. And we tried for reconciliation, and we just have to praise God because God moved, Christ was glorified, people have been reconciled, and everybody seems to be growing. Everybody's thankful. They have a fervor and a love for the brother. And so God made reconciliation possible in this situation where I didn't see it was possible in my flesh. But I will say, when I did come back, I told these men, I'm coming back. We're getting back together. Well, it wasn't I left. It was, long story short, it was reconciliation. And I said, we could come out of this better than we were before if we do it right and we follow the Lord and we follow His lead, walk in the Spirit. And so far, Sister Amund, would you say that's not true? That's exactly what's happened?
Oh, I would say absolutely.
Did it far surpass your expectations?
Yeah, I don't know the word for it, yeah, but yes, it's pretty absolutely. Awesome. And all to the glory of God, you can see willing yeah. hearts, and everybody learns from it if yep. they're willing to learn.
Yeah, and it's all because we all laid our flesh down, and we said, not us, you, Lord. And we are all willing to be humble and meek and either face what we did wrong or figure out what we can make it, how we can make it right, and then come back to unity and the love of the brethren. So I just want to encourage you, if you have a situation in your life with other true believers, the world you're probably never going to come at peace with, other true believers, pray about it, stay close to the Word and the Spirit, wait for the right time, and you might have tried 3 or 4 times to make peace, and maybe it took a little bit longer for somebody's heart to change, and maybe that 4th time you try, and things happen, and you go, this is why it says forgive your brother 7 times 70.
Right, yeah.
So, just wanted to encourage you there. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, praise
and we're thank
God.
We are thankful for that. Anything else, Sister Amund, as we close out? From our Gospel Van Don't Perish studio, which is you in a passenger seat, and I'm in the driver's seat with our phone.
With a mediocre phone.
With a mediocre phone.
And then I'm going to upload it all on my cheap Chromebook.
Hopefully it sounds really good as I'm holding it closer to my mouth.
Yeah, we're just simple people. You know what? We live it, we show it, and we prove it to other people how you can do much
yep.
with little.
With little.
Yeah, we don't need a big complicated thing. Like yeah. This world is so complicated.
Kind of like the widow's mite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. So go out and make peace with those that you can. We serve the Prince of Peace.
Hey, I like that. Yeah. We do.
Rise up, you saints of God. We love you all.
Love you, sisters.
We'll be reporting from the Gospel Road. Hopefully, some audio video from a preach. And who knows what else this Sunday, this weekend. Maybe Sunday we'll bring something else. We're excited. We're always excited to go serve the Lord. We hope you're excited, whatever ministry you do, no matter where you are, north, south, east, west. And no matter what time of the day it is, I think it's almost morning here.
Probably already.
It's early morning after midnight.
Well, not quite.
Not quite.
Hey, we're early tonight.
We're early tonight. It's almost after midnight.
Usually we don't get this
midnight.
Done until tomorrow.
And we hope that you're striving on, and let us know how we can help you. We're here for you all. Anyone that wants to seek the kingdom of God, we are right there for you. Till next time, have a joyous evening, morning, afternoon, whatever it is. We're going to have a restful evening, I hope. In Christ's name.
Amen. And may God be praised in our daily lives lived for Him.
Yeah, those are important words. That God be praised and glorified in all of us.
Yes.
Hold fast, saints.